It's time to eat.
Get in my belly.
Sit down and get ready to consume an abundance of fantasy football knowledge from Ross Tucker and Evan Silva.
Me so hungry.
On the Fantasy Feast Eatin' Podcast.
Yeah, let's eat, baby. You know what it is. It is week 8 in the National Football League, and it's part 2 of the Fantasy Feast Eatin' Podcast with the star of the show, Evan Silva from RotoWorld, making sure you guys are all set, ready, especially with all these buys, to set your fantasy lineups this weekend. It is getting into the stretch run. Love it, Evan. Let's dive into it momentarily. First, I need to tell everybody that today's part 2 is presented by DraftKings.com, the destination for one-week fantasy football. Every week, brand new season at DraftKings. Just pick your contest, draft your team, and follow the action live. Makes watching the games a lot more interesting. Don't wait. Start your new season at DraftKings.com now. Use code FEAST and play free with your first deposit. That's code FEAST to play free for your share of over $1 million in total prizes this weekend. Only at DraftKings.com. Eligibility restrictions may apply. See site for details. All right, Evan, let's get into it. Part 2. Let's get to the rest of the games. We stop part 1 with the Chiefs and the Colts. So we'll pick up here with Seattle and New Orleans. The Seahawks going down to take on Drew Brees. Russell Wilson just still doesn't look right. And I know he still played well even when he was injured earlier, but I thought they should have rested him that game against the Jets before the bye, and it's like he's not gotten any better with his health.
Yeah. Yeah, he hasn't been good in fantasy either, man. I have him in one season-long league, and I've been starting him every week, and just not happening. But, I mean, this is the ultimate get-right spot. You know, nicknamed by Rich Rebar, the NFL's version of Coors Field, These games are shootouts, like almost without fail. So I expect Russell Wilson to be a popular DFS play this week. I mean, you got to start him in season long. You know, Doug Baldwin, great matchup. I don't know what the Saints benched Sterling Moore, who they had been using in the slot, for Devontae Harris, an undrafted rookie out of Texas A&M last week. That was surprising. Devontae Harris actually ended up only playing about 10 snaps because the Chiefs went base personnel and multi tight ends for most of the game. But I mean, he's their slot corner, and if he matches up with Doug Baldwin, like, Doug Baldwin will crush him. So really good matchup for Doug Baldwin. The ultimate revenge game for Jimmy Graham against New Orleans. He probably goes back to the Superdome and scores a touchdown. He didn't have a big game against Arizona, which has been great at defending tight ends this year with all their athleticism at linebacker and safety, but he did have 10 targets, and that's what you want to see. I mean, he's got at least 8 targets in four straight games. That's tough to find at the tight end position. I mean, not even Gronk is getting that. So Jimmy Graham, great play this week. And if you're looking for wide receiver help, I know Jermaine Kearse and Tyler Lockett have not done anything so far this season, but I mean, you could do a lot worse than guys that are going to be on the field at the NFL's version of Coors, in a probable shootout, who have big playability, at least in Tyler Lockett's case. I've seen him on the waiver wire in a ton of my leagues. And I mean, I'm going to try to get him and spot play him this week. And I don't think that Jermaine Kearse is that bad of an option either. And C. Mike should eat for sure in the backfield. I know he hasn't had big games recently. He's had a bunch of bad matchups, but this is a great matchup for him. On the other side, you know, I know that Seattle's defense looks imposing on paper, but Drew Brees just gets it done at the Superdome. I'm going to bet on Drew Brees at the Superdome over any opponent. And then, I mean, and we saw him have a big game last week at Arrowhead, which surprised me. But, you know, all the more reason to like quarterbacks that are facing the Chiefs. But, I mean, he's got multiple touchdown passes in 5 of 6 games this year. He hasn't been great on the road with the exception of last week, but he has been dominant on home at home. He has 3 home games, and he's finished as a top 3 fantasy tight end in all 3 of those. This is the toughest matchup he will have faced to date, but, you know, again, betting on Drew Brees at the Superdome. And, you know, I think that all the pass catchers are good season-long plays, and I have no idea how to pinpoint who's going to have a big game against Seattle, because it just doesn't look good for them, for any of them on paper. Read my column on Thursday. Maybe I will have it figured out. If not, I'll just, you know, I'll have a breakdown of each dude. I think that you're pretty much starting them all, though, in season-long leagues.
All right, Evan. Let's keep it moving then, and let's get to a team. You said that Drew Brees has been on fire. How about the Raiders offense at this point? Now they're playing, yeah, and Michael Crabtree in particular, now they're going ahead and they are playing at the Tampa Bay Bucks. Let's start with the Raiders.
Yeah, so Derek Carr actually has not had big fantasy games now in back-to-back weeks. One was against the Chiefs in that game that was where the Raiders just got destroyed in time of possession, and the game was windy. And then last week was against the Jaguars, who, as we discussed on the first pod, have a good pass defense. And Jalen Ramsey just shut down. I mean, he erased Amari Cooper. Really, really impressive by Jalen Ramsey, who had not had great games in his previous two, but he did have one against Amari. But I love this game for fantasy. There are a lot of games. We got 6 teams on bye, but I think there are a lot of really good games. I like that Kansas City Indy game. You know, everybody's going to love the New Orleans Seattle game. Like this Tampa Bay Oakland game. And then Green Bay Atlanta, which we'll discuss in a minute. But yeah, I mean, I want to have exposure to this game for sure in DFS this week. I think that Derek Carr will have super low ownership, and he has as much upside as anybody in this game. We have not seen the Bucks really get beaten up. We have not seen their pass defense really tested in a long time. I mean, they've faced a bunch of really bad quarterbacks: Colin Kaepernick, Trevor Siemian, Derek Anderson. I mean, they haven't faced anybody lately, and I think that the Raiders passing game could be really big this week. I think we see Amari Cooper bounce back. He will get a rookie for the second straight week. He's going to run most of his routes at Vernon Hargreaves, and then Crabtree will deal with Brent Grimes, who's 33 years old, at left corner. I mean, I want players from this game, or members of the passing game, and then Jacquizz Rodgers for Tampa Bay. You know, with Latavius Murray, he comes back, he plays 60% of the snaps, he gets 20 touches, he scores 2 touchdowns. This is a difficult matchup. I think that if he gets similar usage, though, I mean, that's a guy that you put in your fantasy lineup. You know, 20 touches and 60% of the snaps, that's a solid second running back in a season-long league. So the matchup is not great for Latavius, but he's an okay season-long start.
What about on the other side for the Bucks, coming off running all over the 49ers? I mean, anybody, yeah, that wanted to, Peyton Barber, Jacquizz Rodgers, my uncle, everybody. It was awesome.
Yeah. Peyton Barber is kind of interesting. We should talk about him a little bit. He broke his 44-yard touchdown run in kind of garbage time. But, I mean, he got some early game involvement. And he finished with 12 for, I think, 84 and a TD. And, I mean, he's 5'10", 230. And Jacquizz Rodgers is 5'8", 190. You know, I mean, the Bucks can't afford to continue to give Jacquizz Rodgers monster workloads. I think that we'll see another big workload this week, but I think it will be more along the lines of like 18 to 22 touches as opposed to like 27 and 35, which is what he had in the previous two games. I think they should work in Peyton Barber. I mean, he showed that big playability. He is built more to run between the tackles than Jacquizz Rodgers. And, I mean, it doesn't seem like Doug Martin is close to returning.
All right, what about the receivers and tight ends for the Bucs?
Yeah, Jameis is in an awesome spot. Mike Evans is in an awesome spot. I've seen some, like I mentioned, that the Raiders had given up seven opposing 100-yard games to opposing wide receivers, which is a lot. And then I got a bunch of blowback on Twitter, like, oh, they only give up 100-yard games to small receivers. So that's bad for Mike Evans. But they gave up big games to Tyrell Williams and Julio Jones. Not overthinking this. You know, the Raiders have given up a lot of big games to small wide receivers, true. And in theory, their big cornerbacks would match up better against big wide receivers, which, I mean, you know, we have the ultimate recency bias confirmation with Allen Robinson, you know, whose quarterback is Blake Bortles. And that's really the issue. And Allen Robinson has stunk. I mean, he has seven drops over the last five games. He hasn't been good himself. And Mike Evans has been awesome. So against a Raiders defense that is allowing the fourth most receptions in the NFL to opposing wide receivers and the most yards in the NFL to opposing wide receivers, like, I'm not going to overthink this, and I'm just going to use Mike Evans everywhere and, you know, deal with it and move on to the next week if it doesn't work out. Russell Shepard had a big game against the 49ers. I wonder if this is a Kendall Wright situation, though, where he kind of pops up for a good game, and then, I mean, he's a rotational player. He played like 40% of the Bucs snaps. He played fewer snaps than Cecil Shorts and Adam Humphries. So, I mean, I like Russell Shepard. You know, they manufactured him some touches. He's a good athlete. He's the kind of guy that you, like, root for. I followed him throughout his career. I remember he was a big quarterback recruit coming out of high school, and he played a bunch of different positions at LSU, and he's paid his dues on special teams in Tampa Bay. But I don't know if I'm ready to trust him yet as a fantasy play when he is not even nearly a full-time player in the Bucs offense. Adam Humphries' role did not grow in the absence of Vincent Jackson, and neither did Cameron Brate. His involvement actually dropped. Sharing time with Brandon Myers now, Cameron Brate has not been good as a run blocker. Dirk Cutter has placed a great, 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 strong emphasis on the running game. And, you know, if Cameron Brate isn't going to block, then you know, they're going to put Brandon Myers, the old veteran, on the field. The matchup is really good for Cameron Brate. He still played 60% of the Bucs snaps last week, and I don't think that he's going to evaporate from the offense. But, you know, that's a little bit concerning. I want my streamer tight ends to, you know, as a baseline, I want them to be on the field a lot. And Cameron Brate was only on the field for, I mean, his snap rate has dropped in like four straight weeks.
Let's get to some late games, Evan. There's only two late games on Sunday. It's San Diego, Denver, and Green Bay, Atlanta. We'll start with the Chargers and Melvin Gordon. I've never seen a guy go from being can't score a touchdown to can't stop scoring touchdowns before.
Yeah, he's like a rich man's Matt Asiata. I mean, he averages like 3.2 yards per carry, but he scores multiple touchdowns every single week. Matt Asiata had a season like that when Adrian Peterson spent all of 2014 on the commissioner exempt list. you know, I think that our dude at Roto World, Ray Summerlin, put it best. You know, it's kind of like frustrating to see a dude who really isn't that good in real life be awesome in fantasy. But you know, it is what it is. And you know, Melvin Gordon, even against the Broncos, who, hey, Lamar Miller and Alfred Blue had some good runs against the Broncos this past week. I know a lot of it was done by Osweiler, like checking into the right play. Like the only thing that Osweiler did right against the Broncos. But like the Broncos have not been that great against the run. We've seen Jeremy Hill have a big game against them in that Thursday night game where San Diego hosted Denver. Melvin Gordon had 27 carries. So, I mean, you can hang your hat on his workload for sure, week in and week out. And also his scoring. I mean, they just feed him when they are in scoring position. And that is awesome in fantasy football. Should be noted, the Chargers did talk about this week about maybe giving the undrafted rookie number two back that they have, Kenneth Farrow, a few more carries this week. Kenneth Farrow is a name to keep in mind. Dexter McCluster is strictly a role player, and if Melvin Gordon were to get hurt, Kenneth Farrow would be in an amazing position. It seems like they trust him. I mean, he's played some snaps, and now they're talking about getting him a little bit more work. That's not to suggest that Melvin Gordon's job is in any way threatened. It's not. The Chargers think that he's like a great back, just something to keep in mind. Like I'm stashing Kenneth Farrow where I can. I mean, I play in some deep leagues, I play in some dynasty leagues, and I mean, it, you know, something happens to Melvin Gordon, like Kenneth Farrow is in a great position. We have seen Melvin Gordon be an elite fantasy running back without actually being a good real life running back. It's going to be tough for Phillip Rivers here. I mean, that's just the case. You know, that's always the case against Denver. His last three quarterback finishes on a weekly basis against the Broncos are like quarterback 28, quarterback 22, and quarterback 16. You know, I would consider playing Brock Osweiler and Ryan Fitzpatrick over Phillip Rivers this week. I know it sounds insane. It sounds completely insane. But your chances are just better with those guys based on the matchups. And same deal with Tyrell Williams and Travis Benjamin. It's going to be hard. The Broncos have not allowed a receiving touchdown to opposing wide receiver since week one, and they have allowed two games above 60 receiving yards to opposing wide receivers. So, you know, I'm benching Travis Benjamin and Tyrell Williams this week. It should be noted, Tyrell Williams, since over the Chargers' last six games, leads the team in catches, receiving yards, targets, red zone targets, and targets inside the 10-yard line. I mean, he's becoming the Chargers' number one. And I looked at their schedule after this week, and I mean, I don't think that you could come up with a more favorable pass defense schedule the rest of the way, especially in the fantasy playoffs. I mean, it is a cakewalk the rest of the way for the Chargers. And I think after this game, I mean, I would be trying to buy Tyrell Williams now, but his perceived stock may be especially low after this game, just because the Broncos shut down wide receivers. And so I think that he would be an intriguing buy target for the rest of the way. Based on his schedule, based on his usage, based on his quarterback, I think Tyrell Williams has a chance to be a league winner in the second half of the season. Hunter Henry is in the concussion protocol. You know, don't know, not going to know until Friday. Antonio Gates saw 10 targets last week. He was horrible in the game. But if no Hunter Henry, I mean, I think that Antonio Gates is very much in play as a streamer against the Broncos.
All right, what about for the Broncos, the running backs now with C.J. Anderson and Devontae Booker? We saw what they did Monday night to the Texans.
Yeah, I mean, we were on this early. You know, it's a timeshare. And there will be games where they both produce. There will be games where one guy produces. There will be games where neither of them produce. And I think that this is a good spot for both of them, actually. You know, so again, six teams on bye. I think Devontae Booker is like a low-end RB2 in a 12-team season-long league. I think that C.J. Anderson is maybe a hair above that. But the Chargers have been getting shredded by running backs, primarily in the passing game. Both these dudes can catch. So, yeah, I mean, I think that that pretty much sums it up. You know, Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders. The good news is, you know, the ball is going to go to them. Virgil Green really just has not – it has not materialized for him as a significant contributor in the passing game. He saw zero targets last week. He's very useful to the Broncos as a run blocker, but he, you know, he's not a high-volume tight end. So you can count on Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders getting like 7 to 10 targets on a weekly basis, and that is good news in season-long leagues. They're hard for me to differentiate on a week-to-week basis in daily fantasy. You know, the Chargers have a good cornerback in Casey Hayward, but he really just doesn't scare me from a matchup standpoint. I mean, Julio ripped him up last week, and I mean, I think that both Demaryius and Emmanuel Sanders could have success against Casey Hayward if they end up getting matched up against him. So, you know, Emmanuel Sanders and Demaryius Thomas, borderline wide receiver two threes in season long leagues, and Emmanuel Sanders has been the higher yardage guy recently, and Demaryius Thomas has been scoring the touchdowns.
Last question, I guess. A.J. Derby, worth a stash maybe? The Broncos just traded a fifth-round pick for him from the Patriots,
yeah, I think,
and he looked awesome in preseason.
Yeah, I think he's good, dude. I've liked him for a long time. I remember like just watching him play at Arkansas. He was like a converted quarterback, and I mean, he was super, super physical, which is, I mean, something that is kind of needed you know, at the tight end position, but you don't always get from a converted quarterback. But I mean, he checked that box for sure. And then in the preseason, we saw him really check the box as a receiving tight end. So, I mean, I don't, you know, I think that you're looking at him in deeper leagues. I mean, I think that even if he were to become a full-time player in the Broncos offense, say by like week 10, I'm still not sure how many targets he would be seeing on a weekly basis, but at the same time, like, it wouldn't surprise me if by week 10 or week 11, we are talking about AJ Derby as, hey, you know, maybe, you know, if you want a tight end streamer, which, by the way, streaming tight ends has been money in the bank this season. But you know, as opposed to like paying up for Gronk, or Jordan Reed. I mean, streaming tight ends has been a league-winning strategy so far this year. But, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if by week 12 we're talking about A.J. Derby as a potential streamer.
All right, let's move on then. Atlanta and Green Bay. You expected a lot of points in this one.
You would think. You would think. I really like Matt Ryan and Julio in this spot. Devonta Freeman, I mean, we're not going to get Tevin Coleman this week, and that is going to mean a big workload for Devonta Freeman, who last year when Tevin Coleman missed four games, I mean, Devonta Freeman averaged like 27 touches a game. He scored 8 touchdowns in those 4 games. I mean, I don't care that the Packers have played good run defense so far. Like, I'm using Devonta Freeman this week, and really excited about him. Really, really excited about him. You know, Matt Ryan and Julio is obvious. Just the rest of the pass catchers, man, you can't really trust any of them. Jacob Tammy has not seen more than 5 targets since week 2. Mohamed Sanu has had some games where he's had a lot of targets, but he hasn't gone over 50 receiving yards since week one. So, you know, these guys are like role players in Atlanta's offense, and you want the big volume guys, and that's Devonta Freeman and Julio Jones. For the Packers, you know, Aaron Rodgers had a big fantasy game. I just totally butchered my analysis of that game. I mean, it was so off. You know, and Aaron Rodgers has a monster fantasy game, averaging like 5.8 yards per pass attempt. You know, it's kind of the way that it goes. But this game certainly has shootout potential. Should be noted, the Falcons have 11 sacks over their last three games. Vic Beasley really coming on as a pass rusher. The Packers do have a pretty good offensive line. That really hasn't been the issue for Aaron Rodgers. It's been just the fact that they rely on him to make so many random, you know, off-script plays, and I mean, there's just no rhythm to their offense. People are really interested in the guy Ty Montgomery, and for good reason. He has a boatload of touches over the Packers' last two games, 230 total yards. He has 8 red zone targets and 4 red zone carries. I mean, this could be like a two, you know, like with all the positive regression he is due for in the touchdown column, this could be we could see a 2-touchdown game from Ty Montgomery at some point. I don't know what to do with Nile Davis and Don Jackson. You know, I think until we see them play, you know, I'm kind of treating Ty Montgomery as the Packers' feature back. You know, I would definitely start Ty Montgomery against the Falcons. The Falcons have allowed the NFL's second most receptions to opposing tight ends and the most receiving yards. I'm sorry, not to tight ends, to running backs. The most receiving yards in the league to running backs. So that all that bodes well for Ty Montgomery, who gets like all of his catches out of the backfield. And even with Devontae Adams back last week on the short week playing through the concussion, I mean, I can't believe that he did that. And then he has like a monster game. It's crazy. But Ty Montgomery played 70% of the snaps. You know, again, saw it a million touches. So you're definitely starting him. I think he has more value as a wide receiver play because, like, I know ESPN gave him eligibility at running back recently. I don't know. He's got a lot of value at either position. It doesn't really matter. But would rather stick him in a wide receiver slot. And then – Devonta Adams, you know, he's been good for the last month. It's just he had not seen a big target game like he did against Atlanta. But he's been scoring touchdowns. He has like an 80% catch rate over his previous four. You know, he's a guy that we maybe wrote off too quickly. You know, he's 21 days younger than Redskins rookie receiver Josh Doctson. He is... You know, I mean, maybe it's starting to click for him. And this is a really good matchup. It's a potential high-scoring game in the Georgia Dome. We are going to see Desmond Trufant on Jordy Nelson. I would be shocked if we didn't. And, you know, the game sets up well for Devonta Adams and Ty Montgomery and Randall Cobb to eat. Randall Cobb, by the way, target totals of 15, 11, and 11 with 6 rushing attempts since the Packers' bye week. People were worried about him early in the season. No reason to worry at this point. He's tearing it up in fantasy football.
What did you make, Evan, of the Falcons signing those two running backs?
Yeah, that maybe Tevin Coleman misses more than we anticipate. I mean, yeah. It definitely suggests that Tevin Coleman isn't playing this week.
Oh, yeah, no chance.
Yeah.
No chance.
Yeah.
All right, how about the Sunday nighter? It's the Eagles and the Cowboys. Cowboys coming off a bye, and they pretty much just do what they do against everybody. I mean, they pretty much dictate the tempo of the game and how they're going to play every week.
I love it, man. I love it. I think it's really cool. And, I mean, I grew up like a Cowboys hater. I was like a Redskins fan early in my life. And I know that a lot of people just don't like the Cowboys, and I get it. But, I mean, you got to respect that they just impose their will on you. It's pretty cool. And, I mean, they're going to do that again this week. I know that the Eagles have a good defense. You know, we mentioned that the Bengals had a good run defense. We mentioned that the Packers had a good run defense, and just Ezekiel Elliott just slaughtered them. And, you know, I wonder if Ezekiel Elliott will be low-owned in daily fantasy this week. He's the quintessential Sunday night hammer. I'm definitely going to have him in some tournament lineups. We've seen the Eagles run defense get run over by Matt Jones. Zach Zenner had some good, or Theo Riddick had averaged almost 5 yards of carry against them. So did Matt Asiata last week. So it's just, you know, they play wide nine. And that can make them vulnerable to opposing running games. And, I mean, everyone is vulnerable to the Cowboys running game, as we have established. So excited about Ezekiel Elliott pretty much every week, like regardless of opponent at this point. We'll be getting back Dez. That's good news. I think that in a season-long league, you know, you fire him up right away. Should be full practice all week and 100% healthy against the Eagles. Eagles have not been a good matchup for opposing wide receivers, but you know, this is Dez Bryant, and I think you're starting him. Dak Prescott, an okay start, I think, against the Eagles. It's not an easy matchup, but he ranks 12th among quarterbacks in rushing attempts and is tied for first in rushing touchdowns. And he's been a top 14 fantasy quarterback in 4 straight games. And that was without Dez. So I think that he is an okay play. Like, I think you were, just as an example, I think you were debating between him and a guy like Marcus Mariota this week. And I think it's pretty tough. Like, I think that would be, you know, you're kind of just biding your time and thinking about it and, you know, trying to make the best decision and gather information. And, but I think that would be, you know, that would be like a decision that someone might have to make this week, not looking at Terrence Williams or Bryce Butler at all with Dez back. And then, Cole Beasley, you know, he found a way to stay fantasy relevant, seeing so few targets in the 5 games prior to the Cowboys' bye. He averaged 5.4 targets per game during that stretch, just catching everything. I don't like his usage, and I don't like his matchup either. The Eagles lost Ron Brooks for the year, their slot corner, but I would have liked the matchup better with him in there than Malcolm Jenkins, who's going to drop down and cover the slot now. And Malcolm Jenkins is pretty darn good. So I don't love anything about Cole Beasley in this game, which probably means he'll get, you know, 4 targets and catch all 4 for 94 yards and 2 touchdowns.
What about the Eagles offensively against the Cowboys defense? Carson Wentz still didn't look great against the Vikings, and no. Ryan Matthews fumbled again.
Yeah, this is one of the worst offenses for fantasy football in the league. First of all, you're facing Cowboys. This is going to be a really slow game. I mean, these teams rank toward the bottom of the NFL, or bottom 3 in the NFL in pace. And, you know, we've been talking about this for years, that the Cowboys don't have imposing personnel. They don't have good defensive metrics. They give up a lot of yards per carry to running backs. They, you don't look at their players and think, oh man, you know, like, this is a scary defense, but it is, because they drain the clock and they drain plays against you, and, you know, they drain your offensive volume, and they don't even let you on the field, man. So I'm just going to full pass on every single Eagles player here. I'm dropping Zach Ertz, who has target totals of 3, 3, and 3 since he returned from his rib injury, and he has 3 touchdowns over his last 23 games.
Let's move on. And last but not least, it's Monday Night Football. It's the Vikings against Jay Cutler, who said it best when he said, well, I'm playing again because Fox doesn't have a choice, and the Chicago Bears. Let's start with the Vikings. That O-line performance in Philadelphia was concerning. So was Bradford. I feel like Bradford's kind of getting a pass for that game. I mean, step up in the pocket a little bit, dude, or protect the ball a little bit for me, please.
Yeah, I just want to talk about Cutler. I mean, what are we going to see from him on Monday night? I'm excited to see it.
Oh, yeah, it could be epic.
Yeah, I feel like it
Because he's probably thinking like now, were they going to bench me for Matt Barkley?
Right. Oh, man, I think it could be cool. I mean, you want Vikings D. You want Vikings D big time.
It could be cool. You want Vikings D. All right.
Yes.
Anything else in Chicago to say?
I mean, you can kind of, like, I don't think that this is good news for Zach Miller, who was eating with Hoyer in there and didn't really eat with Cutler in there early in the season. I mean, the Bears, so last year, they just called run plays the entire season in order to, like, limit Jay Cutler's impact on games. And they really kind of did that in the first couple of games, too. And then when Brian Hoyer goes in there, like, they're throwing the ball 50 times a game. So I think it could be a classic. It's amazing how many primetime games that the Bears have. I don't like anything about Zach Miller this week. I don't like anything about Cameron Meredith this week. I think with Alshon, you have one thing that you can hang your hat on, and that is that Jay Cutler could target him like 18 times. But the matchup is horrible. Alshon's production has been really disappointing. And, you're just kind of hoping that Cutler just feeds him. For the Vikings, Jerick McKinnon keeps getting banged up, man. I want to see what his practice participation is this week. If Matt Asiata were to get the start, like, he would be a really good fantasy start in a game where the Vikings should have positive script all game long. And, the Bears' run defense is by no means worrisome. I mean, Matt Asiata would be as good a bet for a touchdown as any running back on the Week 8 slate. Diggs has been really disappointing, man. Since he blew up in the first two games, battling a groin injury, battling shaky quarterback play. He's like a third receiver in fantasy. And, you're considering whether to bench him or start him every week. Kyle Rudolph should be good to go, though. He has been reliable. He had 5 for 55 last week against the Eagles, which is the worst possible matchup in the NFC for tight ends. The worst possible matchup in the AFC for tight ends is the Kansas City. He came out of that with 5 catches for 55 yards. That's a good week for a tight end. And then, you hope that in his bigger weeks, he has 5 for 55 and a touchdown. And I think that that's very much in play against the Bears. Cordarrelle Patterson, by the way, he's playing a big role in the Vikings offense, and he has special teams upside. You could do a lot worse than Cordarrelle Patterson against the Bears, as a spot start in Week 8 with a bunch of teams on bye and fantasy owners just like in need of help. He's playing a lot of snaps. He's getting targets. They will manufacture touches for him. He's definitely in play as a fantasy start this week.
All right. So just to confirm here, I've got defensive streamers, the Titans. I guess the Vikings don't really fit that category, even though you said you want the Vikings defense. I think they're owned pretty much everywhere. Is there another defensive streamer I missed, Evan?
The Jets. The Jets are on a lot of waiver wires, and you can use them against Kevin Hogan. But, yeah, I think the Titans stand out to me as my favorite.
And then what about quarterbacks? I got Fitz and Brock Osweiler. Anybody else?
Yeah, Alex Smith against the Colts. I think that pretty much does it.
Good stuff there, Evan, as always. That will do it for part two of the Week 8 Fantasy Feast Eaten podcast here. Love it, love it, love it. You know what? If you guys love it as much as we do, really helps when you spread the word via social media. Just retweet Evan at Evan Silva when he tweets it, or me at Ross Tucker NFL, or our producer Bri at RTF Podcast. Or if you'd like, if you're a Facebook person, Facebook.com/RossTuckerNFL. Just give me a thumbs up, a like over there. It all helps. It's all appreciated. Thank you very much, and good luck this weekend. Hope you guys get the win. I lost last weekend. 4-3 in my one league, and I'm not happy about it. But now that I talked to Evan again, I am ready to rock and roll. I'm stuffed. I'm full. We just ate a feast. It's over.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Feast Podcast. Make sure to also subscribe to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Even Money, and the College Draft Podcast, all available on iTunes at rostucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.
So any of you guys think the stock market is volatile? I do. It's like a roller coaster that gives you a nosebleed. That's why I like to invest in commercial real estate. But I don't like to deal with tenants and toilets. So you get involved with richuncles.com. It's Rich Uncles REIT. It's a real estate investment trust. The business model of a REIT is simple. They own commercial property. They collect it from creditworthy tenants like Walgreens and Chase Bank, rent, pay them a monthly dividend. Here's what you need to do. The investment has risks, like any investment. It's not guaranteed. So go to their website, check out Rich Uncles REIT, a Reg A Tier 2 offering. Go to richuncles.com. That's richuncles.com, or call 855-RICH-UNCLES. Let Rich Uncles know you heard about them in a podcast.
Rich Uncles REIT is seeking indications of interest concerning its Reg A Tier 2 securities offering. Any indication of interest involves no obligation or commitment of any kind. No money or other consideration is being solicited, and if sent, response will not be accepted. No sales will be made or commitments to purchase accepted until the offering statement is qualified. This media outlet is being paid under $2,000 by Rich Uncles for this single message.